Fake news. It was a word we really didn't hear much. We didn't use much. It really wasn't part of our vocabulary until 2017. But did you know it was the word of the year for 2017? And our current president, Donald Trump, has picked it up as kind of a favorite term. It's been around for a long time. I want to share with you this morning, just kind of by way of introduction, there are actually seven kinds of fake news, and you're going to recognize them immediately. The first one is satire or parody. How many of you have ever read The Onion? You ever read The Onion? I love The Onion. It's one of my favorite things. It's satire, pure satire. In the religious world, there is an onion. It's called the Babylon Bee. Anyone ever read The Babylon Bee? Same thing. I love reading it because it's pure satire. But now, if you don't know that, things you would read there you might think were true. So fake news is, at its root, core, oftentimes, satire or parody, not designed to do harm at all. Then there's the kind that has a false connection between when headlines don't match the story. How many of you in your travels through the checkout line at the grocery store see the Inquirer or the Star? Fake news, okay? The headlines are always salacious to get your attention, and the story is never the same, right? On the inside. That's fake news, false connection. Then there's a misleading content that's oftentimes used in fake news. Let me give you a capsule of that one so you'll understand it. Right now, we're very much involved in this Santa Fe shooting, and it's horrible, and there is nothing good to say. However, there was a statistic that came out almost immediately that said that's the 22nd school shooting in Texas this year. And it was picked up by ABC, NBC, all the local news media in Dallas, Channel 8, Channel 5, Channel 11, all of them had it. 22nd school shooting in Texas this year. Let me tell you where that statistic that they quote comes from. That statistic was actually compiled by a group called Every Town for Gun Safety. It's an advocacy group, and it was put together by former mayor of New York City, Michael Bloomberg. They consider, and this is a direct quote, any time a firearm is discharged, a live round is discharged, inside, into, or on the grounds of a school, that's a school shooting. Whether anybody was hit, whether anybody was injured, whether the gun was fired at anybody, if a gun was fired, it's a school shooting. I don't know what you would do with a track team. Twenty-two school shootings documented by Everytown. This is one of those fake news deals. Is it a true statistic? Yes. Is its context totally wrong? Yes. I can take a fact and make it fit, and that's what happens. Michael Bloomberg has an agenda. He has a point he's trying to make, and he's used an advocacy group, and that's what that is. True, but not quite. False news. And then there's false context. How many of you remember when our president made a comment this week that MS-13 members are barely better than animals? Remember that? Okay. And he got absolutely crucified for calling people animals. The context of his statement was ignored, and it was singled out. Okay, I could say, and you could say, I hate tall people. And if that's all you heard, you would think I am a bigot. But if I finish my sentence, I hate tall people who pick on short people, you would understand the context of my hatred. Okay, it goes together. It's fake news when you leave out the context. When I am preaching to you and teaching you the Word of God, how many times have I said to you already, context is everything. Understanding the circumstances in which that statement was made mean everything. It gives it depth and understanding. And then there's the imposter kind of fake news. That's the news that comes from, you'll get this one quickly, unnamed sources. Unnamed sources means I made it up. And you can't double check me because it's an unnamed source. Editors are supposed to check that, but we don't. And then there is the manipulated content. That's when somebody photoshops a picture, which is easily done nowadays. When you see a photograph, doesn't mean that's what happened, because now those can be manipulated very easy. Manipulated content. And then there's the totally fabricated content. How many of you have heard the story that was published in the Denver Guardian? Have you heard about that? The story that was published in the Denver Guardian was about an FBI agent who was investigating Hillary's emails and the deletion thereof, and he and his wife turned up dead in a murder-suicide. And that was published in the Denver Guardian. Did you hear about it? Okay, well, it was widely disseminated. First of all, there is no Denver Guardian. It doesn't exist. The FBI agent didn't exist. His wife didn't exist. There was no investigation of which he was a part. It was a totally made-up story, but it made the rounds of the internet. And it was attributed to the Denver Guardian. Fake news. Guys, the scripture says in our text today, and this is a parenthetical thought that John had. He began early on, we studied it weeks ago, when he said, Antichrist is already in this world. And Antichrist is anything that's not Christ, not glorifying to God, not telling the truth. That's an Antichrist. Then he sticks this little parenthesis in right near the end of his letter, and he says, don't trust everything you read and see. Test the spirits. If you don't hear truth about Jesus Christ, discard it. It's an antichrist. Don't get trapped. Be wise. Be mature in your judgments. Listen, fake news has been around for a long time. Back in the second and third century, false rumors were spread that Christians ate their children, and hundreds were killed. In 1475, a fake news story in Trent claimed that the Jewish community had murdered a 2.5-year-old baby named Simonio. Didn't even exist. But 15 Jews were burned at the stake for that fake news story. It's happened. It's historical. It's gone on since the beginning. Dear friends, don't believe everything. Many false prophets have gone out into the world, and every spirit that does not confess Jesus Christ is not from God. They are the spirit of the Antichrist. The enemy dispenses fake news. He's been doing it since the Garden of Eden. Nothing new. He hasn't got any new playbook. He's not doing anything he hasn't done. If you go back to Genesis chapter 3, he says to Eve, did God really say you can't eat from any tree in the garden? No, God didn't say that. The woman said, we may eat the fruit of the trees in the garden, but about the fruit of the tree in the middle of the garden, God said you must not eat it and you must not touch it. No, he didn't. He just said you can't eat it. And then the serpent says, no, you won't die. Fake news. Because right there, God's law had been violated. God means what he says. Don't ever think God doesn't mean what he says. Don't ever think that somehow you're the exception to God's rules and God's laws. You're not. He means what he says. And it will happen just that way. Everybody thought Noah was crazy. What do you mean it's going to rain? Not going to rain, Noah. Not going to rain. news? And it rained. What are you building, Noah? Build an ark. Don't forget, if you need one, I know a guy. Got to do them twice sometimes. Fake news. Sarah, you're going to have a baby. And Sarah thought, fake news. But she had the baby. God doesn't do fake news. God does truth. When he says it, that's it. Trust it. Joseph's brothers, when he went out from his dad to find his brothers. By the way, ladies, you wonder why we men never stop to ask directions? Well, you'll find it in that story of Joseph and his brothers. His dad sent him out to find his brothers, and he couldn't find them. So he stopped to ask directions, and look what happened to him. So we have decided, as the male species, we'll never do that again. So we don't ask directions. Then we don't wind up in prison. Joseph's brothers thought they got rid of Joseph. He was a thorn in their side. And they thought they had once and for all gotten rid of him. Fake news. God had a plan. And he put Joseph in Egypt to save their lives. And they didn't even know what was going on. I wonder how many times God has put us through an uncomfortable situation, understanding that it would save our life down the road, and we had no understanding of it. I wonder when we get to heaven how it'll be. Mike, you were talking about when we get to heaven and all the languages. I had an opportunity to speak at a prayer conference in Korea, South Korea, for Dr. Cho's church a number of years ago. And I was standing on a dais in Yoido Square, which was an old runway from the Korean War. And it's roughly a mile long and about half a mile wide. And there were over a million people from 134 countries that had gathered and were standing in front of us. And Dr. Cho, when he stood up and he said, "All right, folks, let's pray." And in Korea, when you ask someone to pray, it's verbal. They don't pray in their head. They don't pray quietly. They pray. And if you do missions work around the world, you'll find in most cultures, prayer is verbal. So we had at least 134 languages that were being spoken in prayer all at the same time. It was just a cacophony of sound when you were standing where we were. And I have to tell you, the sound that emanated and came up, all I could do was stand and weep. It was totally overwhelming. That's just a touch of what we're going to hear when we walk through those gates. And that's not fake news. That's real. You can bank on it. It's truth. Goliath was so big, the army of Israel looked at him and said, "We'll never be able to take him." Fake news. David said, "Just give me a couple of stones and a slingshot. I got this." Because God was on his side. Gang, Goliath always seems huge. The stuff in our life always seems huge. It seems insurmountable. It seems like there's no way. It seems like there's no possibility that God could ever be glorified in that. But if we would simply realize that when God is on our side, you plus God is always a majority. Always. Can't lose. Every time. I remember when Daniel was tossed in the lion's den and they thought the lions would eat Daniel. Fake news. They weren't hungry. Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, thrown in a fiery furnace, and they turned it up so hot that the guys who stoked the fire died from the heat. That's how hot it was. And the king looked in there and thought he'd find cinders. Instead, the scripture records what he saw was the three Hebrew children he'd thrown in there and a fourth man in that fire walking around down there. Listen, I don't care how hot the fire is. I don't care how big the lions are. When that fourth man shows up and he's promised, you're going to win. That's a given because God promises it. God's word is always good news. Isaiah promised there would be a Savior. in the seventh chapter of the of his letter, of his prophecy. This is how he describes the birth of God's Son, the one who would come. He said, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive a child. She will give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us, God's own son. If you read the book of Luke, chapter 1, the angel of the Lord comes to Mary and says, don't be afraid, Mary. You found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son. You will name him Jesus. He will be very great, the Son of the Most High God. The Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David, and he will reign forever, and there will be no end to his kingdom. And Mary says, but it can't happen. That has to be fake news. I'm a virgin. Holy Spirit will come upon you, Mary. The power of the Most High will overshadow you, and the baby born will be holy. Absolutely critical. God, man, so that he could die for our sin. He is exactly what Isaiah promised. God's word can be trusted. There was a long time between Isaiah's prophecy and the birth of Jesus. But he came exactly as it had been prophesied that he would. In John chapter 15, some of his disciples said to one another when he was teaching them about his departure and his crucifixion, they said to each other, he says, in a little while you'll see me no more, and then after a little while you'll see me. What does he mean by that? How do we understand what he's saying? He says, I tell you, you will weep and mourn while the world rejoices. You'll grieve, but your grief will turn to joy. What does he mean? How does that work? And then in the 20th chapter of that gospel, on the evening of the first day, after he'd been crucified, after he had died, after he had been buried, on the evening of that first day, the disciples were together and the doors in the room were locked because they were afraid of the Jewish leadership. And Jesus came and he stood in their midst and he said, peace be to you. And after this, he showed them his hands and his side. And here's what John records. And they were overjoyed. A little while you'll not see me, and then your grief will turn to joy. They had grieved, and they were afraid. And he said, peace, and they were overjoyed. Today we celebrate Pentecost. Pentecost is the day the church was birthed. We are now his hands and his arms in this world. That's our function. We're to deliver the message. And this is what the prophecy was. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses. Now, an attorney who does litigation will tell you there are two kinds of witnesses. The ones who do your case good and the ones you're sorry you called. And it's real clear. The ones you're sorry you called, you won't talk to them anymore if you can help it. But there's still a witness. The ones you're proud you called that do a good job for you, you want to use them and you want to make sure that their testimony is emphasized. Jesus said, you will be my witnesses. You get a choice about what kind of witness you're going to be. But as a child of God, when he takes up residence, the Holy Spirit comes upon us, we are witnesses to his truth, one way or another. You will be witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, uttermost parts of the earth. There's a plan there that lays out in concentric circles. And then he was taken up from them before their very eyes. And they stood as disciples who had walked with him, seen him crucified, wept as he was buried and died, and then were overjoyed at his resurrection. They have been with him since in those days afterwards. And now he was ascending into heaven, and they were literally watching him go up. And as they were watching him go up, the angel came and said, This same Jesus. Boy, those are important words. Not some spirit, not somebody else. This same Jesus that you see ascending into heaven will come again the same way you have seen him go. He's going to return again. That's a prophecy. And our world says fake news. But that's what they said about Noah. And that's what they said about Isaiah's prophecy. And that's what they said when they had him on the cross and they thought they'd killed him and they wouldn't have to worry about him anymore. That's what they've always said. But the promise is he's going to come again. In the 14th chapter of John's Gospel, he said, I'm going to prepare a place for you. And if I go, I will return and take you to myself so that where I am, there you may be also. I had a pastor friend in Shreveport, had a little sign on his desk, said, I've gone to Dad's to fix your room. I'll be back to pick you up. I loved that, and I've never forgotten it. That's exactly what Jesus promised. And the world tells us it can't happen. We get all kinds of false witness. There are some who call themselves Christians who think Jesus came in some spiritual form in 1914. Not true. This same Jesus will come just like you saw him go. Didn't happen in 1914. There are some who say he was a great prophet, but he's not Almighty God. John said, if they don't confess this Jesus, that spirit is not of God. There are some who say, well, we believe in Jesus, but you're saved by obedience to the laws and by living a good life and by following the ordinances of our church. And Jesus said, you're born into the kingdom of God by faith in my sacrifice plus nothing. There are those religions that believe that the Bible's a good book, but theirs is too. But the scripture says, don't add anything or subtract anything. Everything you need to know about God is right here. What I'm sharing with you this morning is called apologetics. Apologetics is not, I'm sorry. Apologetics is a defense for the faith that we have. I have been challenged by people who say, you're a bigot because you believe that Jesus is the only way to heaven. Now, because I'm a smart aleck, I have a response to that. Are you surprised? When someone says to me, you're a bigot because you believe that Jesus is the only way to heaven, my response is, yeah, and aren't you glad there is a way? Aren't you glad there is a way? God doesn't owe us a way. See, the question is presupposed that God should accept everybody any way you want to get there. The question's wrong. I want to set it right. The right question is, aren't you glad that there is a way? And that way is through Jesus Christ our Lord. Last June, Bernie Sanders, in a Senate hearing, a nomination hearing, was questioning Russell Vought, a nominee for deputy director of the White House Office of Management and Budget. At issue was a blog post that Vought had written in defense of Wheaton College, an evangelical school. He said in that blog that Muslims stand condemned for not believing in Jesus Christ. And this is what Sanders said. In the piece that I referred to, that you wrote for the publication called Resurgent, you wrote, Muslims do not simply have a deficient theology. They don't know God because they have rejected Jesus Christ, his son. And they stand condemned. And Sanders said, don't you believe that that statement is Islamophobic? And Vaught responded that he did not consider the statement to be bigoted in nature, noting that he was simply stating his belief in the centrality of Jesus Christ for salvation. He said, as a Christian, I believe that all individuals are made in the image of God and are worthy of dignity and respect regardless of their religious beliefs. Sanders said, I think your statement is indefensible, hateful, and Islamophobic. It's an insult to over a billion Muslims throughout the world. And he voted against the nominee. Ladies and gentlemen, let me be very clear. It is not my job as pastor of this congregation to get along with everybody, with every religion, and tell them we're all going to get to heaven and it's all okay. It's my job to look you in the eye and tell you that the only way you will ever see eternal life is through Jesus Christ. Period. There is no other way. And if that makes me a bigot, and if that makes me narrow-minded, and if that offends you at your core, I'm sorry. That's my apology. That's as much as you'll ever get. I have found the truth, and the truth is in Jesus Christ, and the truth will set you free. His words, not mine. But the experience is mine, not his. I have found life in Jesus. I don't minimize it. I don't defend it. I'm not backed into a corner by it. I am aggressively sharing because it's the way to know the heart and love of God. He loved everybody so much, for God so loved the world. And he sent his son to prove it. That's my gospel. That's my truth. That's the rock upon which I stand. And it's available to everybody and anybody, regardless of where you were born, rich, poor, black, white, brown, this country, another country, Muslim parents, no parents, whatever. God said, I love you so much. I sent my son so you could have eternal life with me. That's good news. John said, be careful. Listen, don't buy into any fake news. That's the truth. How many of you remember laughing? And little Edith Ann would say, pfft. Remember that? That's it. There wasn't anything left to say. John wrapped it up and said, this is the good news. Children, John's words, test the spirits. Not every word you hear is from God. Make sure that what you hear and what you trust is right here in this book. God has given us everything we need to know and then some. Stand with me, would you? Let's pray. Father, this morning I am the teacher in this congregation. It is important, Lord, that I share with your church the truth and the absolute sufficiency of your word and of your gospel. Lord, there are lots of fake news outlets in our world today. Discovery Channel, National Geographic, everybody else is doing some sort of historical Jesus. And Lord, they're all fake news because they don't start from the right premise. The right premise is that you're God and that you came to reconcile us to the Father so that we might enjoy eternal life. Anything that starts anywhere else, it's fake news. Lord, help us to just quickly dismiss that which distracts us and refocus on the truth. Let our lives be good witnesses. Lord, you said in Acts that on this day when your church was formed, we would be witnesses. So let us be good ones. Let us show forth your love. We're not here to condemn people. We're not here to put people down. We're just here to share the truth. There is a way to know God. His name is Jesus Christ. And let me show you how he loves us. We love you, Lord. Oh, how you loved us. You gave your life that we might have eternal life. Oh, how you loved us. Father, as we go from this place, we never go from your presence, but with you in our life to radiate from us. During this week, give us an opportunity to share Jesus with somebody. Let us encourage somebody. Pray for somebody. Lift somebody up. Help us, Lord. Hands and arms extended. In Christ's name I pray.